Welcome to the Woadsman Podcast, a show discussing all things camping, bushcraft, and outdoor adventure. Hello, listeners. Tom here with the Woadsman Podcast. Today we have an exciting episode with various interviews we conducted at the Bushcraft Show 2022. Before we get to that, we wanted to say a very heartfelt and sincere thank you to Her Majesty the Queen, who passed away on the 8th of September as the UK's longest reigning monarch, serving her country for 70 years and 214 days. This was incredibly sad news, as for many of us in the UK, Elizabeth's reign was all we had known, and she had served her country loyally and passionately for that time. We want to say thank you, ma'am, and please rest in peace.
So hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Woadsman Podcast. We're here at the Bushcraft Show, aren't we, Tom?
Hey! We look forward to this every year, don't we, Liam?
Yeah, it's our kind of annual pilgrimage. In fact, it's where we met.
It is.
So
In the queue for the toilet.
That was it.
I'm sure we've told this story before, but me and Liam have been talking online for a couple of years on Instagram and YouTube. And if you go back on some of my early videos, Liam is one of the only people that actually was watching it and commenting. And he was normally commenting on the fact that we were both listening to the same music. And
yeah, I had your band t-shirts.
I had a black metal Alcest t-shirt on and listened to Agaloc in the background, and Liam recognised the track.
I did indeed.
That's how we started striking up a conversation. And then I remember getting this message. I think it was it 2017, 2018 Bushcraft Show?
I think it was 2018, yeah.
And I got a message from Primal Nomad. And I was like, I recognise Primal Nomad. We chat online. And he was like, oh, you're at the Bushcraft Show? And I was like,
yep,
yes,
that was it.
I am. And we were going to arrange to meet up. And then literally 10 minutes after the message, I was in the queue for the toilet. And I was like, I recognise that head.
You do?
I recognise that hair, that bloke with the flat cap on. And you turn around and you're like, I recognise that bloke.
Yeah, there we are.
And we were just like...
Kind of rest is history, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we just hit it off straight away. So that's actually the origin of the Woadsman Podcast, goes all the way back to the Bushcraft Show.
Yeah, it's really special, this place, to us, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, we're in a different location to that first initial Bushcraft Show. It's changed now. We're in Stanford Hall, which is a lovely location,
yeah,
actually. Yeah, really
it's
near
rugby, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's been a really nice... nice to come and organise, like get into the show, kind of have all that planning kind of aspect,
yeah,
the excitement, the build up, and knowing all the different people coming along.
That's it, the amount of messages. I mean, we've been taken by just the amount of people that have come up to us and had a chat. I mean, we both were just really tired, weren't we, just from the amount of socialising that we've done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been quite crazy. We've met quite a lot of people, you know, listeners and just other channels, bushcrafters, knife makers, craftsmen, and that's what this episode's actually probably going to be based around, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, so this episode, what we thought we'd do is just find as many different people as we could fit into one of our days here at the Bushcraft Show and just sit down with them for 10 minutes and have a chat. So some of the people you will have heard before on the show, because they're our friends and we like to chat to them. Other people, we managed to find a listener who is quickly becoming a friend of ours.
Yep, really nice chap.
Who's just started his own channel, so we thought we'd chat to him. And we just got a few other people just to say their experience of the show, really,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, that's it, because it's, it's really nice to get that kind of different perspective from different people. It's all well and good, me and Tom sitting here and saying how we enjoyed the show. But it's nice to hear that from other people, newcomers to the show and new followers to the podcast, and just get a bit of feedback. So.
That's it. And we also managed to sit down with someone very, very special to both of us.
We did, yeah.
Bill Kincaid. Yeah, who's a 75?
75, yeah.
75-year-old man who still carries his own Bergen into the woods, sets up, and is an absolute gentleman.
Very, very inspiring chap. You know, he's had a few health issues, which obviously when we go to the clip of us talking, I'll cut that. You'll hear me, or you'll hear us talking about that with Bill. But he's just a very, very inspiring chap.
Yeah.
And just a really kind of humbling experience having a conversation with him, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's just really special to have him on the podcast. It may be a little bit quieter than the other clips.
But I'll try and sort that in post, but bear with him. He is, like we said, 75 years old. And
yeah, I think he mentions in the podcast as well that he doesn't generate saliva.
Yeah,
so for him, dry mouth, it's quite hard to speak up. So
yeah, definitely.
Bear with us on that. But it was such a great chat, and it was just inspiring. I came away just thinking, me and Liam are going to be like Bill.
Yeah, hopefully that would be.
Yeah, if we can aim to be like Bill at 75, going out together and doing that sort of thing, then we will have achieved a goal, I think.
Yeah, that would be an honour to kind of have his kind of sense of character.
It's his resilience as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's an inspiring chap. So we look forward to sharing that little clip with you. And in fact, there's someone really special with us right now who it would be really nice to get on,
yes.
Wouldn't it, Tom?
Yes.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, it's Tom's dad here.
Mike.
So, it should be Tom's dad.
Me and Dad have been camping together for years, and my very first wild camp I did with my dad, my very first bushcraft trip to the Wye Valley, I did with my dad. In fact, Dad tipped us into the Wye Valley in a canoe.
Yep.
And we ended up having to swim after my camera as it floated down the river.
Oh, no.
We didn't tie it down.
We didn't bring any spare clothes on that trip, so we ended up having to raid the canoe hire centre. We had to raid the canoe hire centre for spare clothes because we had no clothes. So yeah, I mean, Dad has been there from the very start of Back Garden Bushcraft, and he's been always supporting me with what I'm doing. And the Bushcraft Show for me and Dad is sort of the thing that we do together every year, and it's so special to have Dad here.
Well, it's been one of those relationships that, again, going back to that first Bushcraft Show, I was with my friend Ollie, and it was just so nice to see that kind of bond that you've got, and that kind of father-son relationship, and that ability to share bushcraft and that common interest. It was really, really nice. So it's really good to have been able to then share those experiences with Mike, with your dad, through you as well, because we've become really close as well.
Can I say goodbye?
No worries.
We have Del Boy Stanton in the house.
We do. Del Boy Stanton and Drabbers Into the Bush just walked in.
So we'll just pause there, say goodbye to our friends.
Say goodbye to these guys.
We'll come back in a sec. So that was really nice. We just had Drabbers Into the Bush, we had Captain Squishy, and we had Del Boy Stanton.
Yeah.
Three of our good friends just come along to say goodbye, because actually we're recording this at the end of the show as a sort of retrospective. So picking up where we left off, me and my dad have such a special relationship that Dad used to be into camping before I was born, and then when family sort of came along, he sort of gave up camping.
Yeah, of course.
And then I got massively obsessed with bushcraft, and at the time I wasn't that confident, so I got my dad to come along with me, and we sort of found that it was something we really enjoyed doing together.
Gave you a chance to relive it, Mike.
We did.
Yeah. And whilst I'm able to go camping a lot more frequently now, and I'm now doing like stuff outdoors, working in the outdoors.
Yeah.
The thing that me and Dad look forward to doing together every year is the Bushcraft Show. So we thought it would be nice to start this little episode with a little bit of you guys meeting my dad, Mike.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's been great. Every year we've come, we've met more people. And the people I look forward to seeing, people like, I mean, some influential people like Giles Newman.
Yes.
Or like the flint knapping guy.
Will Lord.
Yeah. I mean, I just love listening. He actually did a really good talk over there, didn't he?
Yeah, they're
really good.
They're really knowledgeable.
I really enjoyed that talk, actually. It was good. Every year I look forward to it, and every year it gets a little bit more crazy in the evenings. I've had a few beers, but it's just an education for me to come out of the normal life and just relax in the woods with some younger people, really. I'm so honoured that you all... Yeah, don't mind me being around,
well,
you know, because
you've had quite a new air of life this year, haven't you? Because you had a bit of a heart operation.
Yeah, yeah.
You just seem full of the joys of it this year.
I can't tell you. I had actually quite a bad heart, and I inherited from my poor dad, who passed away quite early in life. And I didn't realise I had it until the middle of the winter. But actually, in retrospect, looking back over the last year, I humped a lot of gear for Liam and Tom over this great big field where we were camping on the other side of this estate. And I remember halfway across thinking, this is really hard work. And yeah, I thought actually, it was something to do with being a little bit older and having, I had big COVID before all the jabs came out. I had a big load of COVID and I wasn't very well for that. And if I ever asked a doctor why I felt a bit chesty, they said, you're 64, you've had COVID and it's knocked you for six. But actually it wasn't that, it was that I had a bunged up artery. So I've been in hospital and a bit of an emergency actually, around
your
about April.
Your artery burst, didn't it, as well? Yeah.
Tom and my middle son, Sam, and Julie, my wife, probably saved my life because they said to me, look, don't just sit there feeling puffed out with chest pains, so I'm going to put you in the car and bang you to hospital.
Sam, my middle brother, actually sort of forced you to get in the car, didn't he?
Well,
sort of like bullied you into the car, because I was away, but I'd already said to Dad the week before, I was like, I think you just need to go.
Well, I went bushcrafting with Tom a couple of times during the winter to do some filming for him in some of the cars we did over the Surreals. And walking out, Tom had to really help me with my gear.
Yeah, it was quite worrying, actually. There's a video on my channel where me and Dad go and cook some food just out in the woods. And on the walk back to the car, it was about a mile from the car. And I got quite worried that I was going to have to, like, rescue Dad.
Yeah,
because he was really getting heart pains on the way back.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't particularly pain. I was never in pain. I never, actually, I'm a very, very lucky person to be in the situation where I've actually had a couple of stents done on the main artery. I haven't actually had a heart attack, which is means that all my readings on my heart are good.
If I'd
had a heart attack, I probably wouldn't be sitting there having a chat with you now. So I haven't had a heart attack. They've sourced the problem with the blocked arteries. The pump's working fine. It was the plumbing each side of it. So they've put some new plumbing in for me. And I'm just feeling so good. I can walk next to Tom at his pace. I
you
can
have
carry
a proper spring in your step.
Absolutely, and I think you've all noticed it, haven't you?
Yeah, we have.
I really feel so different, and I am actually lucky to be here. They said if I had a heart attack, it would be a completely different story, and I mean completely different story.
Yeah, I'm really glad that
I probably wouldn't be here, and if I was, I certainly wouldn't be sitting in the woods having packed in here myself.
What
my
a special place this is. It's like a little home from home here again. Yeah. You've got your wax 3x3 Thornhill canvas tarp in the background.
Repping my bushcraft bling from Thornhill, my 3x3 black canvas tarp.
Because we've actually just both picked up a knife from Fired Woods as well.
Yep, we both got our knives to test out from Josh.
That's it, and they kind of
support him because
really nice.
He is an amazing craftsman.
They are.
And he deserves people to just have these knives. He should be.
Well, they're kind of trio. Josh's knife, my knife, and your knife have all got a kind of very
trio
of this burl. And
three knives, all made by the amazing Josh.
And it's been really nice to use them over this weekend and kind of, you know, like we said, kind of share that time with Josh as well. You got to really get to know him this
weekend. I mean, me and Josh have been friends. We met at the same time as I met Liam.
Yeah.
But I've not actually got much time to hang out with him, and I've not camped with him before. I've just always chatted to him, and we've been chatting online regularly, like once a week we check in with each other. So it was really nice to actually camp with us, and he came and had dinner with us and cooked with us and did bow drill with us and stuff each night. And we did hand drill. Me and him did a tandem hand drill yesterday.
Yeah, that was good work.
And like the teamwork that we used for that was just insane. And he made Dad nearly wet himself with laughter, didn't he?
I was going to say, it's nice for you to get to know Tom's friends in this kind of environment as
absolutely.
Well, isn't it? Because you go back with all these stories.
Yeah.
I spend most of my time laughing.
I mean, Josh is such a character and I literally love the bloke. Like, he's such a humble man and so much fun. And beneath, like, the sort of confidence that he portrays, he's just such a genuinely nice, friendly, kind person.
Yeah, he is.
And I've really enjoyed sharing time with him and the fact that Dad's here to witness it all and get to know him. He did this whole skit yesterday around the fire. We were just having a fire and he did this whole skit about squirrel oil.
It was so funny.
And he just has this character that's a guy who makes oil from squirrels. And he's got this entire fleshed out backstory, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And he's like, I squeezed a squirrel, I used the turpentine from the squirrel, used it as marinade and from a chainsaw and from a lawnmower. And he's got this like whole skit that he does. And Dad was on the floor. I was like, please don't kill my dad. He's just got out of an operation. And he's like now unable to contain himself because the amount of laughter that he's having around the fire.
Ringing out a squirrel that made me laugh.
Yeah, to get all that last drops of grease out.
Squirrel grease. And then we scared someone in the loo yesterday, didn't we? Because we'd had a few to drink, obviously, as you do at a festival.
Filming a tiny little skit, weren't we?
Yeah, and we're both fans of a film called True Grit. And there's it's a film, a western with Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges, and he's obviously got a very thick southern drawl in that film, and there's a scene where he's on the loo and someone's bugging him and knocking on the door of the toilet, so we sort of filmed a little skit
based around that,
and Josh is like banging on the door of the latrines and there's like people in them, and like, they must have just thought, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, because you were in the one that he was banging on specifically.
Yeah,
it's not like we were just banging
on everyone's ones,
but it would have resonated through the whole block because all these connected,
and then he was just like
6x6
Mr. Bridges.
Mr. Bridges. It was very good. So you can probably see little glimpses of
I'm going to include that in my video of the Bushcraft Show, because I put across a very serious persona on my my channel. I think some people get the wrong idea that I'm a bit serious, and we've had someone that was chatting to me about that last night, and they were like, they didn't really know what to make of me from my videos because I'm well spoken.
It can be hard to come across, you know, serious, put information across in a way that could be, you know, absorbed easily by the viewer or the listener.
Everyone's
and also not come across standoffish.
That's it. If you work in education, you have a teacher mode. And my mum always has the teacher voice she turns on. So if ever I'm in trouble, my dad's in trouble, she gets the teacher voice out, and we know we're in trouble and we have to behave ourselves. And it's the same with me. When I'm teaching someone something, I have, because I've been trained to teach and I have been a teacher for a while, I get in a very serious mode of I'm teaching at this point. But actually, when the mic's not there, and when we're not teaching, and when we're not sharing skills, and when it's just me and Liam and Ellie and Dad around the fire,
you're very down to earth.
Like it's just
like going person.
I just like having fun, like anyone else. And it's like it's quite difficult to get that across when you're actually teaching people things.
Definitely,
because obviously you're trying to get information across, and that's the thing. So, yeah, hopefully. Yeah. This video will have included a bit of the light-hearted, drunken
silliness. Well, it's a true representation of Ben and you. Yeah, exactly. And my episode is just going to be a compilation of kind of B-roll, because, you know, it's nice for me to just then look back at it in retrospect, put some voiceover on it, and I'm continuing up to actually do a deer stalk in Scotland for a competition that I won from The Lucky Hunter, which was indeed
makes me
The Lucky Hunter.
You are.
So there'll be some more details about that coming up in a future episode, but yeah, really looking forward to doing that. And it's been a great weekend. It's just a shame that it's all kind of coming to an end.
Yeah, it's like, always sad, isn't it, packing things away and realising how much kit you brought.
Yeah, so much kit, so much.
Checking your bank balance.
Yeah, the bits that you've brought along the way. I know it was funny seeing you come into camp, Mike, with your cast iron kind of fire pit that you got.
Wanted one of
those, which was really, really nice. I'm very envious, and it's something I'll probably pick up for the overlanding rig sometime, because it'll be handy to keep the fire off.
Yeah, packs down small as well.
Yeah, very flat. Because, of course, it's been... I've been mainly using the overlanding rig on this one, haven't I?
You have, yeah.
I've been using the rooftop.
Been coming over here to cook and hang out at my camp, and then you and Ellie have got your nice place to retreat at.
It's nice. It's your first Bushcraft Show as well, Ellie, isn't it?
It is indeed.
And you enjoying it?
Yeah, certainly lived up to expectations.
That's good.
How have our silly accents been, Ellie?
I think I'm pretty used to that by now. I'm pretty attuned to the silliness of camp life.
You were saying how we literally have no filter around you now.
No. I'm just accepting.
It's like you're just one of the lads.
At one point, I think I put my hands over Ellie's ears. You can't hear this.
Mike's my
guardian angel in them respects.
Yeah.
Defending her from all the obscenities.
Yeah, which there have been a lot of.
But all in good context.
All in
well.
Good fun as
yeah,
well.
That's yeah, that's it. And it's been nice actually having the rooftop tent, hasn't it, Ellie? Because it's quite comfortable, has a nice mattress in the bottom, and it's...
Oh, it's too comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Once we kind of got it set up, we were planning to kind of do a woodland camp, and then by the time you spent one night in it, and it's all set up there, and then you think, right, now I've got to cart everything that's over there, clear some nettles.
You're already set up.
It becomes less and less appealing, and it's... it's funny because you sleep in so late because it's so dark in there as well.
When we got here to the car park, where we all got our packs out and came up to our camp, everybody who arrived had to go up the ladder to go and have a lay down in it to see what it was like.
Yeah.
It was
really well, the cool. number of people that came up to talk to you about your rig, just shows how many people like are interested in overlanding and stuff. And like obviously, I don't drive. I have no idea about overlanding. But like Liam knows a lot about it. And also, the setup you've got is just so practical.
Yeah, and it hopefully only will get more practical. It's been one of them like 5-year long projects, hasn't it? It's just going on and on and on.
Expensive one.
Yeah. But you know, it's hopefully going to take us some good places as well. I know we're going to Scotland on the way up there. We're going to probably try and do a camp in the Lake District in Penrith. We're staying in a little place up there to break up the journey.
Nice.
It's quite a way away, and it just again allows you to do that. We were going to do the NC 500, weren't we?
Yeah, before COVID.
Yeah,
and then stopped that.
It did get stopped very rudely. But no, hopefully things like that in the future and getting over to the continent, because I've got a 270-degree fox wing awning that's supported by poles, so it's not one of the self-supporting versions. So it means from the passenger doors, you can get basically all the way round to the driver's door undercover when you've got the
rooftop. Yeah, it's great. When the rain came in, it was really nice to have that to retreat to when we're out on the show.
Yeah, and it acts as like a nice little hub to cook under, have some breakfast and make some coffee.
There's a lot of hovering around the back of your truck.
It's been nice to actually use it this year. So it's been a really kind of nice show in that respect. We've had these three different kind of main hubs of stuff going on: Craig, East Anglia, and Bushcraft.
Yeah, that's been the party camp, hasn't it?
Party camp.
That's where we go and have a few beers and stuff. So yeah, that's been fun.
Real big social over there.
Yeah, I staggered back at about 2 a.m. last night after drinking too much rum and cider and mixing all types of alcohol together.
Yeah,
be sensible out there, guys. Don't do that.
No.
Don't do what I did.
No, it's been nice.
I bumped into you, didn't I, on the way back, and I was like staggering back, and I was like, come here, Liam, give me a hug.
I'm like halfway between that camp and halfway between the main show, so it's just been a nice kind of central point where we can drop off some supplies, go get some water, and then kind of come back to camp and have some nice food and campfire time.
And do some skills practice as well, which we made sure to do.
Yeah, all in your video as well.
Yeah, it's so all in my video.
Definitely go check it out, and we'll probably go to the...
Yeah, let's go and interview some people.
Let's go find some people. Awesome.
Amazing. Well, I hope you also have an amazing time on your hunt as well,
Liam,
before we go off to speak to everyone. Because obviously, it's going to be great. What an adventure.
See you for a while. Catch you when I'm out on the
I hope you're successful. Moors. Hopefully you get some venison and then send me some.
So yeah, Ellie, you've agreed to do a little bit of filming for me. There's no pressure on that, and I'm not expecting...
Designated cameraman.
Yeah, that's it. Designated camera woman. So we've got the camcorder, which has a bit of a better zoom, so hopefully we'll be able to get some nice landscape shots, and the little DJI Osmo, which I've been really enjoying. So yeah, I'll be filming that. We're going to be out on the moors of Girvan, where my mum was born. Actually, she was born there, and Cottage Hospital, so hopefully I'll be able to visit
amazing.
Some of the areas that she grew up in.
Do you know what calibre you'll be using yet?
I believe probably I'm not sure, I haven't asked him. Maybe a 243
That's what you used last time, wasn't it?
Probably, something like that. Nice. Or triple 250, but I'm not sure. Probably a 243.
Yeah.
It depends as well what the weather's like. We'll see. I'm not even sure what to expect. It's been one of these trips. I haven't researched the areas because I want it to be new to me.
It will be amazing. Yeah. Whatever it is, it will be amazing, dude. You'll have a great time, and you and Ellie will get to share those experiences together. So
I'll get an on the ground.
We'll go to our recording. Man on the ground then. So let's go interview some people before we run out of time.
Absolutely.
Cool. See you then.
So hey guys, we're here actually with another real special person and listener, Owen, OB Outdoors on Instagram. And he met us at the first community camp.
Indeed. East Anglian bushcraft, the one that Tom came to. It was beautiful.
Owen just sort of came up to us and he's like, oh, I listened to your podcast.
Yeah, really, really nice to actually meet a listener. You know, you're probably the first in-person listener that we've had come up to us.
Yeah, and I mean, I had the two guys at the Frontier course who listened
so
to
it. So for me, you're my first.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
So you're my third, but Liam's first. You popped Liam's cherry.
You did indeed.
I'm glad I could do that, yeah.
And of course, you two went on to do some bow drill stuff together as well at the community camp.
My first bow drill as well. That was what an experience that was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was such a cool thing to do, to like share that as a moment with you, to get you your first ember.
Yeah.
So we did a tandem bow drill. And you smashed it, like you mirrored my stance and then immediately picked up the technique.
Yeah, I was actually cameraman on that one.
You were. So,
no, it was a really magical moment to capture, and that's what, you know, the bushcraft, the woadsman, everything is all about, to be honest. And, you know, the bushcraft show, what a cool place.
Yeah, this has been a really good experience, and to meet so many like-minded people at the community camp and then come here and, you know, see so many familiar faces and, it's, you know, The last camp felt like a community, but seeing that in practice, coming here and seeing people like, you know, excited and happy to see you, that was a really nice feeling actually, and like, I look forward to more of these things.
Yeah, there's a big community here, isn't there?
Yeah, I think we were chatting to Steve about this yesterday, and it's just there's so many nice people.
Yeah.
And like, you genuinely make friends really quickly in this space. It's like we shared food and beers and cigars at the community camp.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like, it feels like we've been mates now for a while. Yeah. And it's like, actually, I've only met you once before, but now it's like, hey!
Yeah, very much so. Yeah,
even this morning, you popped over, you came, we've had some breakfast together, haven't we?
Yeah, appreciate that. Shared really nice, yeah.
That was
yeah.
good. Your first bit of Polish bacon, in
first
fact.
First bit of Polish bacon, yeah.
Which has become a fast winner in the community,
it certainly
it?
Has. I blame you for that, Liam.
I blame the Polish. Oh, it's good. It's been a really nice morning, actually. A little bit of rain earlier on.
Yep, little smackerel of rain, and it's sort of cooled down a bit now because it was so warm yesterday that I was sort of flagging a bit.
Yeah.
It's so hot and humid.
It didn't take my enjoyment out of the day, but it made it a hard kind of first day for the show, didn't it?
Yeah. Bit of a slog to be just sort of walking around in the sun at stalls, really.
But yeah, I agree
especially
with that.
Drinking beer.
Yeah, true. Like,
very dehydrating combo, really.
Yeah. What's your impressions to the show as well, Owen?
I've really enjoyed it. I like how the stalls are all set up. You know, it's so cheap. I was expecting, you know, when you go to these sort of things, everything's overpriced. But you know, I've picked up some gear really cheap. I've obviously got the Moira 120 and the hook, and you know, looking at the cheapest place. That's it, first carving kit. I looked online at like, the cheapest sort of places you can get it, and it's just as cheap.
Yeah.
And the fact you don't have to then pay delivery, and it's just there, and you get to hold it and you practice with it as well.
You can check that it fits your hand. I mean,
that's it.
We've had Josh Fired Woods on our podcast before, Avalon Bushcraft.
Yep.
And he brought some of his knives for me to have a go with, and one of them just fitted my hands perfectly. Yeah. And it's just
like made for you almost, wasn't it?
Made for my hands, pretty much. And so I'm now going to be testing that out and seeing how I get on with it.
Yes.
But what a bit of craftsmanship. So the actual ability to hold something in your hand before you purchase it or before you take it away is just
And it's nice to
amazing.
Kind of go back with it. Like you said, you're excited from your purchase. Yeah. You found a good deal. You're in the woods, you found a nice bit of wood,
you
want
to test it.
That's it, exactly. That's what the show's all about. I remember one of our first kind of times filming together properly was at the show, and you'd bought a tiny little axe, and we went back
and
had this
found a fallen
section.
Tree, and we were just like chopping the tree up.
Great. This tiny little, you know, 12 inch little hatchet. It was great.
That's it. Well, I'm at the stage now where, yeah, I'm getting all the kit, you know, and I've deliberately not gone for the best kind of kit because I want to use and abuse it and learn the skills, you know. I want to learn how to use an axe safely and properly, but you know, not chop a finger off
and not panic, I guess, about I've dented my £400 axe
So I've got, you know, a Condor Bushlaw. It cost me about £50, you know.
Good
you can
knives.
Get
good knife
cheaper, you know, the Moiras, but I like the heaviness of it. That's what I want, and it's, you know, if it does get severely damaged, it's just £50, you know.
Mm.
But yeah, I can learn how to use a whetstone on it, and same with the axe cost me even less, you know. It's like £8 and I managed to kind of like restore it and put it into an axe that I can use really well.
Yeah,
and
love that.
Quite proud about that.
And yeah, and they become sentimental, your first tools.
They do, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I actually passed on my first tools to my dad.
Mine too, Ellie.
My first axe I donated to my dad, and then that's now his bushcraft axe.
Yeah, that's
and like he's digging the handle up, he uses it all the time, and it's really quite cool actually because it's got such a story now.
Yeah. Well, you made a knife with your dad, and he, you know, was just telling me about that, and he's so proud of that knife. He is like his pride and joy. Brimming talking about that. Yeah, so
we spent a couple
nice.
Of days together in the Red workshop liners, making it together, and it's a good knife. We bought the blade, and then we bought stabilized wood, and we just made it together. And it's just something to do with, like, it's special, isn't it? Doing something like that with your dad. And
well, Condor Bushlaw was my first knife blank that I bought.
Really?
And then made a handle, used that for a few months, and then so my first videos, that's what I'm using, and you'll see my funny attempt at feather sticks because I hadn't done quite a good sharpening job near the choil. And so that was my first, and I went to the Cashel and Woodsman. You know, even before that I started with a Mora. A standard Mora. And it's funny, I've still got that, passed it on to Ellie, so you're really sentimental.
Yeah. And I plan to do the same, you know, when I do eventually upgrade, I want the kit and, you know, everything that I want to do within the bushcraft, and just, you know, teach myself, but also encourage other people, you know, starting from where I started. You know, I did camping, like casual camping.
Yeah.
But it was quite a step to go into this, totally blind, not knowing anyone that does it. So what I want to do is try and encourage people to do them same steps. And it's okay to make these mistakes and watch people do it really well, but also watch me do it really poorly at times. And
that's what it's we about. All do. We all do. I tried to stick spit in the ground.
Yeah.
And I'd had a few beers, so my accuracy wasn't very good. And instead of sticking it, so I stabbed it into the ground, but missed the ground and hit the fire. And so basically ended up with sparks all over my clothes.
Oh, no.
And I was like, well, that was a bit dumb, wasn't it, really? It
gets the best of us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It always does.
there's always learning opportunities. It's like yesterday I was like super like brought down to earth because like I've hammocked for years, but I've never used tree huggers. I've never used a whoopee sling.
Yep.
I've never used carabiners. And I literally didn't have a clue. So I got Dee Dee to actually set it up for me, Dee Dee hammocks. And then I got my mate Jack, who's here, he's been camping with us, to sort of talk me through putting it on the trees. Because I've used hammocks for ages, I know hammocks, but I've never used that system. And
it's
just
a different technique, isn't it?
It's having, like, even 6-7 years of using a hammock, and I still have things that need to be taught to me.
Yeah. And that's what this show is so good, like meeting different people and not only seeing all the different makers, crafts, stalls and different things, but just seeing different people's different take on bushcraft. And it's really nice to share that with you as well, Owen.
It's good to be here with you guys.
It's been a really special year so far.
Has been great.
Yeah, it has been good. And it's just nice, you know, everyone's got a different technique, like you say, and you know, everyone is very willing to help. If you, you know, want assistance or, you know, want to learn a new skill, everyone wants you to achieve that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of pride in you doing it, but also, you know, your teacher, people who teach you, like they're very proud to see that you've learned something. And
definitely.
I think it's the same for you guys with what you've taught me so far.
Yeah, well, we've already said this afternoon we're going to do bow drill, and anyone that wants to come and learn that can come to our area in the woods, and we'll just do like free demos. And it's like, I think that's, for me, the best part of the show. It's not the stalls. Like, I've done so many bushcraft shows now that I've seen 70% of the stalls before. And like, I mean, I've bought some really nice stuff. I picked up a knife for my logo from York Knives. I've got my knife to test from Josh. But like, the show actually for me is more about skill sharing, talking to people that are like really good at what they do and learning from them, and then just sort of actually sharing the love, really. Like,
definitely.
Seeing people like you, Owen, who are getting into it, and it's just like trying to like steer you in the direction of getting the skills and really enjoying yourself as well, because like the more people we get into the hobby and the more people that we sort of show how fun it is, then these skills will survive.
Yeah, that's it. The wider spread it has. And it's like, even with you, you know, you've started kind of documenting your journey as well, starting bushcraft, which is amazing, because that again has that kind of knock-on effect, that ripple effect, and it can only make better people, because bushcraft brings this kind of harmonious, good outing people I've noticed, and yeah, it's just really nice to see. So thanks so much for coming to join us as well.
I appreciate
it. And for sharing, you know, all of your stuff that you do, coming to the community camp. It's been a pleasure.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to spend some time with you as well.
Yeah, like, I can genuinely would like to just go camping with you.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, you just seem like a really nice chap.
Really nice.
It'd be nice to just all meet up in a woods and just camp for a few days away from a festival setting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just do some actual bushcraft.
Yeah, that'd be good. And share some cooking as well. Quite enjoy. Hey. That's a big part for me. I quite enjoy the cooking
part.
Side of it.
Absolutely,
so.
I love the cooking part.
Yeah we'll have to cook up some more meat by the fire soon.
Oh yes,
that's it.
Well, definitely. How can people find you?
So they can find me on Instagram, OB Outdoors, and I'm also on YouTube. I've got my first video out, and I will do another video of this festival as well. So there'll be more to come, a lot more mistakes and skills learnt. if you're into this sort of stuff and you haven't quite set the plunge, you can kind of see someone in the same sort of situation doing that. So, you know, come learn with me, basically.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really enjoyed your first video. I'm happy to be your second subscriber.
Yeah,
but we can do better than that, guys.
We can
definitely get you up to some subscribers. So
yeah.
let's go give him some support, because actually what he's doing is really, really good.
It's
really nice to see your journey, and it would be amazing to see your progression, because in a year you'll look back and you'll be like,
no way.
So much more confident. And then 2 years, and it's like, I've got videos back when I was just learning in the garden, but I didn't start until I'd been practicing
for a
while.
Helps you learn a lot, doesn't it?
But it does. I still look back at it and I'm like cringing. I'm like, why did I do it like that? You know,
but it's an important part of the journey. It's like pressing record is the hardest part of anything, isn't it? Like with the podcast, with the videos, it's taking that plunge. So yeah, well done, dude.
Cheers.
Yeah, absolutely. And about the skill sharing thing that's just sort of come to me while we've been sitting here, like, everyone's here sharing skills with each other. We had Josh come and teach some people bow drill. He's going to come and help us do some bow drill demos later. And people like Ellie's been just asking for carving tips, hasn't she? And
been doing her walnut.
And she's
spin.
Been now since the community camp. She's taken up carving, hasn't she?
So loves it.
It's like all of this sort of skill sharing. Like, if we think back to our ancestors, there's no way that only one person in the tribe would have known how to bow drill.
No.
You know, they would have all shared the skills with each other and made sure that everyone had the knowledge and the skills.
Absolutely.
And I think actually it's the same with our sort of thing here. It's like, it's not valuable if only one person knows how to do it. It's like,
no.
Share it around and get everyone up to speed.
Yeah, and it's that thirst for knowledge, which is so nice, because you know, it's the same as mine. I'm always interested in so many different things, and there's always someone to fill that bit of information, and I can help that person out with something as well.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. There's always like something like I'll learn stuff from you, you'll learn stuff from me.
Yeah.
And then Liam will see us doing something, and then he'll be like, oh, it can be done like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. It's great.
It's like Josh today, he was like, he knows that I'd bow drill all the time. And he was like, have you ever tried it by sticking a stick in the ground and using that to support as a bearing block?
Yeah.
So you're using the ground as a support. So I've never even thought to try it like that.
Yeah.
So we were like having a play with that, and it's just a different way of doing it.
Yeah.
And for you, you thought that might actually be a beneficial way with your shoulder after your injury.
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely a lot more stability, which is one thing I struggle on. It's getting better, but yeah, that's going to be one to try. I love experimenting new things, new types of wood. So there's going to be plenty more of that today, I hope.
Yeah, and that's for me the highlight of the Bushcraft Show. It's all these people, these amazing people getting together and just having a good time. Owen.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for all your support. And yeah, it's very much appreciated.
No worries, buddy.
No, keep doing what you do. It's awesome.
It is.
Let's get a camping soon.
Definitely. Go check them out. OB Outdoors.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks.
So we've now got Ricky here from Drabbers Into the Bush. So,
hello guys, how are we doing?
Yeah, good. Really good, mate.
Really good.
Really nice to be hanging out with you again.
Enjoying the show. It's quite similar, but obviously much larger, to the first community camp where we met, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's back in January now when we first met. And
yeah.
It's just come along now, and from community camp to the ranch camp, now to this.
Yeah,
it's just
because that's where you two met.
Yeah, well, we've chatted online before, haven't we? Yeah. We've followed each other on Instagram for donkey's years at this point, but to finally meet you in person, we were both just like,
"Hey, we do," and then it's just literally like, boom, old friends.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's been really nice.
That's one of the special things about this. Once you've got a connection with someone and you know you've got a common interest, it's so easy to just strike up a friendship really quickly.
Yeah. And the group's just growing with more and more of us joining, and it's becoming a real good community.
Yeah, I'm loving it. So a little bit of background into yourself. I guess, how would you say you got into bushcraft as a, you know, as a whole?
Well,
has it been something you've always interested in?
Yeah, I'd always done camping through Cubs, Scouts, Army Cadets. Mm. And then you grow up and work life and family life get in the way.
Yep.
And it was just like I needed some me time, so, you know, get away from the work life stress. And it's just like, I know what I'll do. I'll get myself a hammock and I'm hitting
skates
the woods. Yeah. So
nothing better.
Dive straight in and got myself a hammock, cheap tarp from Amazon, and it was just like, right, boom.
That's the
in the woods, literally, right, let's go. It's been delivered, I'm going. on my own. And then more and more. It's just...
Because you've got some young ones, haven't you, as well? Because you started bringing them into it as well.
Yeah, I've taken my boys and my daughter along for a couple of camps. And
yeah.
At this point now, it's like, yes, next year at the Bushcraft Show,
yeah, nice.
I'll be bringing at least my boys. My daughter, not too sure. She might be just a little bit still too young.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But definitely the boys, if they want to, you know.
Love that.
That's going to be so special. Like, I'm here with my dad, and it's like, it's become our thing. Like,
yeah, it's your little pilgrimage.
He looks forward to it the whole year, and just that time to spend with him is really special, and it's something that I'll always remember. It's like, it's become my thing that I do with my dad.
Yeah, and I'll be able to say, I can remember watching your video from last year and seeing the connection with what you guys have, and, you know, that's something that you wish for as a father and son.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to do something
like this. I'm very lucky. Me and my dad share loads of crazy stuff. Like, I've taken him to see, like, black metal and metal bands in London. He doesn't even like the genre, but it's just funny to see him with his hands in his ears next to a biker gang, just like...
It's funny because...
And a Men Ra concert.
That's something me and Ollie, who I went to the first Bushcraft show with, when we met you, we kind of came away saying they've got such a great, like, father-son relationship, and I think Bushcraft's really helped that.
Yeah, well, my dad used to camp when he was a kid, and then he sort of stopped doing it, really, when he started having a family.
Yeah.
And then the fact that I've then got into Bushcraft, I've got him back into it.
Yeah, I think obviously families do come into account, because obviously the responsibilities of them, and then obviously you have more than one. It's the responsibility of, right, we'll take one with us, we're staying at home, and, you know, it's, but no, it's, let's go and enjoy it, get out, it's a good time to be with each other, and if you're learning something, if something's going to be passed on to them, they can pass it on as well.
So even them seeing you learn, it's you know, it's a special thing, isn't it? You know, like we were saying earlier with Owen, just seeing someone doing something can inspire you to then try it yourself, or
absolutely,
they can interject with a different way of doing it. Like, a young person can sometimes see it a simpler way than an adult can overcomplicatedly look at it.
Yeah.
You know, they come up with simple solutions.
For the kids, it's so good for teaching them discipline, teaching them how to actually learn, teaching them sort of the strength to fail and then to keep trying until they get it right.
Yeah.
And from, like, being a teacher, seeing the kids at schools where I've worked, it's the ones who have gone out and done things with their parents who are quicker to learn things. They're nicer, more well-rounded children, because they've had that experience of doing things
character
with their family,
isn't it?
They've failed, they've been allowed to fail,
and
they've got that sort of dirt time. The ones that go to national trusts and learn about the places, the ones that go camping with their parents.
But things have a meaning, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, like, things have a meaning and a purpose. It's not just going on a school trip to this stately home.
They tend to be more appreciative as well of everything, because they see that their parents have really tried.
Yeah.
So I think, I'm looking forward to meeting your youngins next year.
Yeah, oh yeah, they'll be so stoked. And I mean, Doug, my 10-year-old, by the time he comes, he'll be almost 12. Birthday's in a couple of weeks, so he'll be a cheeky chap running around,
I can imagine.
Giving me some grief and spending a lot of money, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, you said that he saw the Liam's video from the community camp, and you were carrying the full pig.
Yeah.
That's quite a funny story.
He So I'm in the kitchen and I can, all of a sudden it's dad, what? Come here, hold on, I'm doing something. Dad, come here. So I come walking in, yeah, what's up? He's press his play on the telly and is that you carrying that pig? I was like, yeah. It's like, oh my God, how big was it? I was like, about 12 stone of pig there. And you're carrying it on your own? Yeah.
You got some dad points there.
That was, yeah. Good. Sorry, yeah. That was such a sight. I remember I was at the catapult range and I just suddenly see you just like coming over with this huge...
He's yeah, almost as big as you.
Huge yeah. hog in your
I'm about
arms.
To say, if you put had it on its run. Hind legs, it was taller than me.
So no, yeah, had to get it on
almost,
camera.
Just over, I think just over, almost 12 stone, yeah.
Well, it fed a lot of people.
It did.
Very yeah. well.
Yeah, but there's still plenty left over as it well. Was. So...
No, brilliant. So you're enjoying the show?
Cause
it's,
yeah.
It's your first bushcraft show,
yeah, this
it?
Is my first one, and it's been what I imagined it to be.
Good.
The community aspect of it all, the little compound of guys what we're in camped with, everybody's just so on the same level. It's just so yeah. nice. You're walking around, people are, hello, you're all right, mate, how are we doing? Everybody's mm-hmm. just so chilled and on the same level.
Yeah, no, it's nice. And yeah. there's been a lot of good talks, actually. I haven't caught as many as usually, but I've just been so busy. There's been lots of people around, and nice to see the state detective and stuff like that. So all yeah. people we've yeah. kind of...
Having a chat yeah, again with Steve. Obviously nice. Met him at the ranch camp, and Luke from York Knives.
Yeah. Because you've got one of his blades, haven't you?
Yes, I have got one of his blades. I was a rather fortunate winner of
the raffle
at the ranch camp.
I remember when that
Everett
was
green
drawn.
With them.
Yeah,
yeah,
because that was a really successful little charity run
that
for
was
that
great,
as
that
well.
Was,
yeah. So, yeah, that was for the charity for Man Up. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So really, really special as well. Very important. I'm yeah. glad you're enjoying it. Buddy. Yeah, it's been good to have you on as well.
Yeah really nice
guys,
to get you on this.
It was, as I said to your partner Elle. She was like, have you ever been on a podcast? I was like, no. I was like, in fact, I've never listened to a podcast until I listened to your guys, but you're the first one. apart from the latest one, I'm up to date on them all.
I love that.
So,
thank you yeah. so much for your support.
Yeah, yeah, just being a top legend as well. Like,
yeah.
Such a chill bloke.
So definitely. Nice. So where can people find you as well?
Just on Instagram, Drabbers Into The Bush.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find him there.
Amazing. All right, enjoy the rest of the show, dude, and we'll see your kids next year.
Yes, at least one of them. I know he would definitely want to come.
Yeah,
the older one might not be cool enough, you know.
We'll see.
Being a 16
that's
year
a challenge.
Old,
that's yeah. a throw.
We'll have to make it a cool video.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm here with John from Guerrilla Outdoor Adventures. How are you enjoying the show, buddy?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
it's a first year here. It's been a great event. I'll definitely be back next year.
Good man. It was so good to meet you. We kind of met at just outside the state detective store, didn't we?
We did.
So it was a good meeting yeah. point.
Yeah, it was. bit of jerky.
Yeah.
Couldn't he was either. A really nice fella.
Yeah, Steve is a top chap.
Oh yeah, lovely man.
As
lovely
are
man.
Yourself, and yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying the show. It's been Thank a really much. Good social one, hasn't it?
I'm a long time listener.
Well, really appreciate
from
it.
From the start, and it gets me through my working week to be there.
No, it's so nice because you actually gave a question in, didn't you?
I did.
We read one out and gave a response to it.
I did.
So and, thank you so much for that.
I fangirled a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
No.
I'm not going to lie. It was a bit surreal.
Yeah.
When you listen to it and you go, I'm sure I asked that question.
Yeah.
And then you look back and you go, yeah, that was me.
And now you'll be on it. So thank you so much for coming
yeah.
and saying hi.
It's
well.
Been a pleasure to meet you.
And you also.
And Tom as well. There's...
Yeah, Tom's just back at camp. So
yeah,
absolutely. I saw you and I thought, hey, we better grab you just before, yeah. just in case you don't get to catch up, because there's so many people here, isn't
it? Hello, mate. It's but really busy today, isn't it?
I'm sure we will. We've got the whole of tomorrow. There's plenty of stuff on this evening as well.
Absolutely. So. We'll have a beer, Lisa.
Yeah, definitely. Enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers, buddy.
Thank you.
So hey guys, we have managed to corner Bill Kincaid for a little interview, haven't
He's
we?
A living legend, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really good to have you here, Bill.
Yeah, it's lovely to be with you, William.
You enjoying
a bunch of people you got.
Yeah, no, like yourself, you enjoying yourself here at the Bushcraft Show?
Absolutely, having a brilliant time, really.
Good.
Would you mind getting...
I can't understand why people are sitting at home. You know, when they've got all this, they come out and do this. It's so different in the forest.
It's a very special time, and to have that shared with you is really important. I'm glad it's lived up to expectations as well, because I know you were looking forward to it for such a long time.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Like me and Tom
betting on everything to get here. Yeah. Supposing it had been the other way around, I'd have still been here one way or another. They'd have brought me.
Yeah.
I was determined to come.
So Bill's, just for you guys that are just listening to this, Bill's wearing a t-shirt that's got a picture of him with a huge rucksack on.
And he's striking
on his t-shirt. A pose, and it's got the caption, "Not dead yet."
And it's a motto to live by, because
definitely.
You're defeating all odds. You're out here at what humble age are you, Bill? 75 years old. Out
still
here.
Carrying your own kit in, setting up, but you're sleeping out in a hammock. It really is inspiring.
And you're sleeping under one of your own very own homemade
tarpaulins. Yeah.
Tarpaulins,
that's amazing.
Which is done with turpentine, linseed oil.
Burnt linseed oil and a little bit of silicone sealant.
Brilliant.
It's amazing.
And it's done you a trick, a treat, hasn't it?
Several times it's done me a treat. Even if it was pouring down the rain, it's still nice and dry.
That's great.
The last
really
one we went
cool.
to at the community camp,
yep.
when it rained that night, we had everybody under that bugger. And we had those cobble stoves that are fires that I make, and they were burning through the rain.
That's brilliant. Because you're a very hands-on kind of guy, aren't you? Mm.
I never waste anything. I mean, if I've got tin cans and I look at it, I think, I can make something out of that. I do that, so I never destroy or waste anything. You know. Mm. At the back of my shed at home, I've got hot tent stoves, I've got rocket stoves, all different kinds of stoves. And I didn't make them to sell them, I just made them to make sure that I could do it.
Yep. Yeah.
So in a time where if things go wrong, I pay for it, I know that I can help, not just me, but other people.
Yeah, you've got the skills there, that background of knowledge.
Proper recycling as well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I find bits of metal and I go out and I make my own axes, my own knives, which I showed you.
Yeah.
They're not as good as the other ones a guy makes, because I'm just in the process of learning.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm dying to go out with you, because I've got so much to learn from William.
Yeah.
I believe me. On all the things I do, I'm still using the Leica, or I can use my
Ferro rod,
but that's only on.
Because we want to get you
cotton wool and vaseline. That's I've never done it originally. Like these guys do.
We want to get you blowing a tinder bundle to flame, don't we, this weekend?
That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to learn that.
Yeah.
I've got so much to learn before I leave this world, because I believe I know that somebody's done, but I believe that I'm going somewhere better.
Yes.
After this, like so.
Absolutely.
And, I need to keep learning.
Yeah, take those skills with you.
Yeah, you were saying to us earlier that you can't take material things with you, but you can take what you've learned and
help you on your journey.
You come on this road and we can go and buy all this nice stuff, but you've got to learn that everything you've got is only on loan to you. Nothing belongs to you, because when you go, that doesn't go with you. Mm. It's what you learn here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's you know, again, I'm learning things just from listening to you, and that's all part of the process. Have you noticed that the community here has been like quite open and willing to share with you? And
I've never met a community like this. I mean, I've had some good friends in my life, don't get me wrong. Yeah, nothing like you lot. I've never known anybody, no matter who you go to, everyone's willing to help, you know?
Yeah.
It is a different community of its own, really.
Yeah.
This sort of living is being lost, and it's a good thing that you guys, young guys here, are out here doing this now, because if not, it's going to get lost forever.
Mm, yeah.
Because, you know, we're living in a world where history's hidden from us, and all things are bad and going wrong.
Mm.
And I'm frightened for you guys, because the world is changing so much.
Yeah.
That it's not going to have the quality of life that I had when I was a youngster, because things are going to be drastic for you.
Yeah, I think we were quite lucky, actually, you know, our generation, Tom. Like, we were right at that cusp of, like, technology was there, but it wasn't kind of taken over in the way it is now.
Teenagers, I do feel sorry for them, because there's an amount of social pressures on them
Yeah.
to live up to someone else's image of what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even for our generation, Liam, like, yeah, both of us are sort of bucking the trend of what we should be doing, if that makes sense.
Yes.
According to society.
No, I know what you mean, 100%.
Like, society would try and put us in a box, and we don't really want to be in that box.
No, and that's why it's almost more important, and why it makes me a bit more passionate about kind of trying to be that, I guess, small voice to try and inspire other people to kind of look outside of that norm and kind of realise what's outside and what's on your doorstep, because we're all strangers to each other, really, in the terms of our whole lives. We've never really, you know, it's only recently we've become friends. We've met each other through this communal thing, bushcraft, and you know, without that connection, we might not have ever crossed paths. No, but no, it feels so natural.
Because, you know, for me, I look at you all now, and all right, we're all at different stages of life, and mine's just about done. But I have friends for life. And you, well, you're not just friends, you're family. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really special, isn't it? You can't put a price on that. That's just so amazing. It's like, I call you like my brother, don't I, really, now, Liam?
Well,
like,
we are. We're pretty much, like you say, extended family.
You're literally just like an extension of, like, me. Yeah. Like, you know, you're like beyond just being like a mate that you just see every now and then.
Yeah, it's like, there's no expectations, and you know, like, you say, for example, you want to learn, like, you know, there's things that you want to learn, and there's things that I feel I also, you know, have got so much to learn off of you. You know,
just that get up and go attitude as well. Yeah. And resilience. And sort of, I find it really inspirational every time I meet you, Bill. I know you always, like, are so humble about it, but it's really nice to actually, like, see you out here, and the fact that you're under a tarp you've made and things like that is really inspiring, and I know how humble you are about that, but it is amazing. And if we can have some older listeners who listen to this and hear that you're out here under a tarp you made, still doing things at the age of 75, then maybe they might actually see, oh, it is possible. They might get some skills, they might learn some skills and actually think that they can come out and do it as well and live their best life, like you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I can honestly say to you, I don't think it's easier for me, because it's not. I'm actually an agony most of the time when I'm out here. But every time you get a hug or a shake of hand here from you, though, I'm ripping little bits of power out of you. And it might not seem that way, but because of the buzz that you give me, it just builds me up. And,
You know, I haven't seen you as happy as when you turned up here with your bags in hand and we were setting up, and you just had such an aura, such a colour to you, and that continued last night. You were wearing your lovely hat, and you just had this amazing smile. In fact, I caught a really beautiful picture of you in the background, so we might put that in the thumbnail or something. But it just, the look of joy on your face to be in that time and moment was it's magical to see, because it does bring a new air of life to you. I can see that as well. And it's just the power of it, isn't it? The power of
living in the moment and just really, like, living your best life. You know,
when I leave here and I go home, I'm really uplifted. But the moment I walk through my little bungalow door, and I'm on my own because I live alone. Most of my time is spent on fucking around with, say, staff, slings, making knives, axes, pots and pans. Because all my pans for cooking and everything is all homemade.
I love
that's
it.
So cool, though.
So I just.
But keeping the mind busy is how you keep. Like yourself, I think is one of the most important things to, you know, you're not ready to stop doing those things, so you just you've been your own kind of motivation, which is amazing. You know, and I know things can, you know, can all get us down when we can't get out as well. You know, there's times when I'm so busy with work, or you know, Tom's snowed under, and it's hard for us to all get out sometimes. And I think that's why we try and share these podcasts as well, because it's a little bit of that, a glimpse into that world that we all love, that might come at a time when we're not able to do it.
Yeah, listen to that back and capture those moments.
That people don't get out here and try it.
Yeah.
this is going to be dirty and everything, but we can all keep ourselves clean here.
Yep.
And we do that, and the food we cook and clean well, just like we do at home. So.
Yeah.
But it's far better here. And let me tell you, things cooked over an open fire is far better than in an oven at home.
100%. The food just tastes immediately better, doesn't it? With
it
that
does.
Smoky flavour.
You see, unfortunately, I can't smell anything, can't taste anything. Mm. I don't mix saliva and tears.
Mm. Yeah, because you...
But the texture.
Yeah.
Because you were struggling quite a lot yesterday with the heat, weren't you, for that reason?
Yes,
Bill, for some of our listeners, had quite a bit of health complications over the last few years, which has really taken its toll, but only in that physical sense, because in your mind you're still as strong and as adamant and as proud of a man as you should
be. See, I will not let anybody else carry my bags. I'm determined not to do that. And if I go down, I'm going down with my bag on my back. I mean, when Craig picked my bag up yesterday, I mean, he sort of stumbled back a bit with the weight of it. But I get it up there, I need help to get it on my back.
Mm, once it's there.
And I will hold it on my back.
I think sometimes we
until
all do.
Until I get where I've got to go. Mm. I never look up in front of me. I watch the ground all the time.
Yeah.
Because if I see that distance, I'm never going to make it. So I look at the ground and I just keep plodding on.
And
I get here.
One step at a time.
Yeah. And that's the way to take every journey, isn't it, really?
Well,
in
I
life.
Think every day is that. It's just one day.
Yeah.
Because not just me. You just know that I'm going to die very soon. So, it could be years. It could be happening to you before me.
Hmm?
You know, nobody knows when their time's coming.
No.
So why not just get out here and enjoy it? And I was going to swear away, but say, fluff the world. I'm going to enjoy life, and that's it. And as I say, coming to meet you guys, then how can you not want to make the life better? Because the stuff you do, and you boys at your age are going to learn me lots of things at my age. It should be the other way around.
No, well, unbeknownst to you, you're teaching me a hell of a lot.
Yeah, the life, genuinely, the wisdom that comes out of your mouth is, like, you probably don't even realise, but it is a lot. It means a lot to us.
Yeah.
Like, what you say. And like, I've been trying to live a little bit more, like, if there's a goal or something I want to achieve, I'm going to try and achieve that. And I think the more I try and actually live my life, the better it is.
Yeah.
Well, we're only here to learn. Mm. You know, in this world, we're only here to learn, and we take that with us. So God knows what's going to happen to those people that haven't learned anything, because it must be like Groundhog Day to them. Every day is the same. Whereas I don't want to live every day the same.
No. Every day should be a new challenge, shouldn't it? You know, in a different way. You know. Thank you so much for like sharing that bill with us as well. You know, it means the world to have you here with us at this really special year of a Bushcraft
Absolutely.
Show.
Yeah,
it's been wonderful. But as I say, you can take away with the thought it isn't me, it is you guys that give me the strength to come and do this. Because if you weren't doing this, I wouldn't be here either.
And that means so much as well. Like, to have inspired you to come out and just keep pushing on and plodding on and doing your thing, it just is awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome, Tom.
We'll get you that Tinder bundle later.
We are definitely going
to
do that, for sure.
I'd like to do that. Because at home, I used to say to my friends, can I swear on this one? Oh, God.
I'll go on.
I used to sit at home and I said, I'm telling you boys, I'm going to meet all these fucking people and I'm going to get up there and I'm going to do things with them. And I used to laugh and say, not possible, Bill. But here we are. I have done it. But I wouldn't have done it if you hadn't accepted me.
Yeah.
So it isn't me, it's all you.
Well, I'd heard a lot about you from Liam before the community camp, so I was so excited to meet you. We're actually at the community camp, and like, you took me over to introduce me to you, didn't you? And then later you saw me with my pipe, and you came over, and we had a lovely chat around the fire about it.
Just got together like wildfire, didn't you?
Yeah. It's really nice.
I mean, I was surprised to see youngsters like yourself smoking a pipe. Used to have the pipes at home and that.
Well, Tom's got me into a pipe as well.
And Jack behind us as well.
I think you might be doing the same with me. I might pop back to that again.
Good man.
I love that. Sherlock Holmes ones, you know.
Full on Sherlock pipe. Love that.
They're nice. But it's nice to see you all doing this. And and I noticed that Del Boy smoked the pipes as well.
Yeah. spreading it back. Get it back to what it used to be like.
Yeah, just for a little insight before we tune out with Bill here, guys, we're sat in a really nice opening in this wood of sycamore, and there's loads of tarps and hammocks set up.
It's like a village.
Yeah, must be about 20 different setups, loads of tents and little teepees. And
people cooking, camping in the background.
Last night, really nice vibe. Brilliant when everybody met. And I must say something to you because you're more experienced than me now. But when I was sitting here and I was watching everything, in the dark, it looked like we were in a bloody big room. And you could see people doing things behind. It was like looking at a TV screen. And then when you saw people coming from the background, they looked like bloody giants. But it is quite extraordinary that what your eyes have shown you isn't always what really is here. But it did definitely look like you were looking at a TV screen and things like that.
Yeah, you see all these little
illuminated scenes, don't you?
Yeah, glimpses into these little worlds. And
that's right. It just looks like you're in a different world.
Yeah. It's brilliant. But this is a totally different world here, the Bushcraft Show.
It's his own little country, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, thanks so much again, Bill, for tuning for coming onto the Wordsman podcast.
It's been lovely.
Amazing.
Awesome. And I'm looking forward to later on today and getting shown how to actually do the old caveman thing and light a fire and start from scratch.
Oh, yes.
Once I've done that, I'll be happy. That's another new thing then.
Yeah,
we'll get it done.
So, we have just managed to corner the stake detective. Normally, that is a very dangerous thing to do because he carries wire cutters and hand grenades, don't you?
I've been told, yeah.
But we know we've had him on a recent episode, but Steve is one of our really close friends in this community, and just any chance to sit down with Steve to have a chat is just an absolute pleasure. And yesterday, we had him by our fire.
We did.
And you brought some liberation sauce, and you liberated our beef, didn't you, old chap?
And you bought the beef, old chap, so which you put... You cooked perfectly, so
you did that on the TGM spit.
Yes, it was just incredible. It was the perfect colour.
It was very rare, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was absolutely lovely, though. A really nice way to spend the first evening of the Bushcraft.
It was great. So we had a spit that we were trying out from TGM Metalworks.
Yes.
And it just cooked the meat just so well.
It's such a good design, being a square box section kind of like style. That definitely. It doesn't turn. It's just amazing.
No, and like we've made spits before, you can definitely do it. It's a bushcraft skill that's really good for practicing, but if you just want to shove a bit of meat on a skewer and cook it.
And at events like this, you kind of warrant taking all the nice bits of kit.
Definitely, all the heavyweight, awesome hand forged ironwork is a great place for it.
Looks like a great piece of kit. I need to invest in one for sure.
No, it does.
And get behind enemy lines, you know, old chaps.
You can always use it to poke Jerry.
Yes, I'll poke him. I'll poke him up the jacks here and see how he likes it.
So has the show been good for you, Steve?
It's been fantastic.
It's your first Bushcraft show, isn't it?
First Bushcraft show. And apart from the community camp we did last at the ranch, which was amazing. Huge shout out to the Bushcraft show as well for accommodating me at the State Sector from such a last minute. And it's just been such a fantastic vibe here. And the biggest part of coming here is to be able to meet up with all you guys and all the fantastic friends and people of the bushcrafting world. So huge thanks for the support. And it's lovely to put a face to an Insta name, or an Insta name to a face, to a handle, to a transmission.
There's been a lot of that today, hasn't there? Yes, we've been walking and it's just like people everywhere. You end up talking.
You might know me by my handle, but I'm such and such a name. Yes, I know you.
Yeah, we've had a few people, haven't we, saying they've been listening to the Wordsman podcast, which is great.
It's been so good.
Yeah. Might get a few of them on as well after this little interview with Steve.
Definitely, and that goes to show the community that we were talking about last time we had you on, Steve, when we were chatting about how people want to find that community, don't they, nowadays, because it's lacking in sort of villages and towns. And there's definitely it here, though, in spades, like the community. Like, we just bumped into the crazy man that is Dave from Northern Outdoors.
And I'm Dave from Northern Outdoors.
Oh, are you? I thought I was.
Oh, I'm Dave from Northern Outdoors.
Who's Dave from Northern Outdoors?
And he's just going up to random people that he's never met, and just, it's like he's known them for his whole life. And I asked him often, I was like, mate, do you actually know that guy? And he's like, no. Never met before.
I love that the show allows that kind of, attitude and behaviour. It's amazing, really.
Yeah,
because it's just a special place, you know. Like we said, it's your first time here.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Have you felt that kind of vibe, that community spirit?
Totally. The community spirit we spoke about is it's just amazing, and it's sort of these sort of shows enable people to find each other, meet each other as well, kind of face to face. So
yeah,
and it's like, you know, it's like even if you haven't met kind of face to face, you're talking on the wireless and all that jazz. It's when you do meet people, it's like you've already known them for ages, which is great.
It was like when I met you, we talked on WhatsApp a bit, and people I've had some people saying how much they enjoyed the episode with you, and they were like, oh, it's cool having the planes in the background, and Steve seemed like such a nice guy, and he was like, how long have you known Steve? I was like, that was the first time I met him. It was when we recorded that episode, and they were like, really? I thought you'd been like friends for ages. Nope. And it's just because like we'd been talking, and it felt like we'd been friends.
Exactly.
For a while,
so that's the connection, isn't it? You know, we've sort of, I think, you know, you sort of, you lose that. I mean, imagine back in the day when all you had was sort of ways to communicate was letters, or you'd arrange to meet someone somewhere. You know,
took a lot of time.
Yeah,
and a lot of patience.
Yes, patience. And if someone didn't showed up, you give them the benefit of the doubt and think, oh, are they all right? Or, but today,
send out a search party.
You wouldn't always assume the worst, you know.
Yeah. No.
You might just think, oh, well, they must be busy or something.
Yeah.
You
know? That's it. And we shouldn't assume the worst because everyone's got stuff going on.
It's
just amazing. It's a great vibe here.
A lot's been going on here, hasn't it?
A lot of wasps.
A lot of stukas, you see, coming in. But
we've dive bombing.
Yes, we've got our boys and girls out today to take them down. We must have taken about 200 down in the state detective anyway.
I can imagine. They were flocking to the Hurricane Harry in the Liberation Source, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah, it's been great to see so many of your products like flying off the shelves. And
of course, thank you.
You know, just a reminder to you guys, our listeners, that we've been doing the promotion with Steve, now the Woadsman 20, and that's been going really well. So
yeah, thank you guys.
Do use that code.
For the support, and you know, already there's... there's some money going to, you know, the charity, you know, the Bearded Fishermen that we mentioned. They do some absolutely fantastic work. So any product you buy off of us using that code, you get a discount yourself, but you're also helping all of those the people vulnerable with mental health issues as well. So
definitely
fantastic.
It's so worthwhile doing. I'd be buying stuff without a promo code, you know? Like, I picked up some ghost pepper, chili sauce and stuff, and so you didn't need it to get our business. You did it for the kindness of your heart because you want to support that charity. And I think that's so kind of you, and I think it's great that we can support it.
Absolutely. Well, with that drum roll, I think we're going to have to...
We've got a live band starting up in the background.
So yeah, Steve, it's been an absolute blast. Thanks for coming on to the Woadsman again.
Thanks,
I know it's been short but sweet, but it's been a busy event, hasn't it? So.
Loved every moment of it.
Great.
And huge thank you to everyone.
No, thank you so much, mate. It's been so nice to spend a couple of days with you.
You guys, legend. And everyone, please do tune into the wireless on the Woadsman podcast.
The Woadsman Podcast is proud to bring you a unique opportunity from the State Detective, whose mission is to source and offer their followers some of the best beef products on the market. With a passion for steak and World War II military history, the State Detective combines a love for a period in history that integrity, honesty, and patriotism were all embodied. The State Detective embraces these great attitudes, and together we're giving a gentle nod to those who served by offering you, the listener, a promotional code for the State Detective. Use the code WOADSMAN20 to receive 10% off of your order, and also award 10% to help support the Bearded Fisherman, a UK-based charity helping those suffering with mental health issues. So whether you're in the market for beef jerky, biltong, incredible sauces, ration packs, tanks, warships, or flyboys, and also love bushcraft, cooking, hunting, or fishing, check out the State Detective. It's terribly British.